Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder, and I'd like to welcome everyone back to the program and thank all the people that have been listening on archives. We're continuing with the terminology today, and if you're interested in looking up some German terms, the website is dict.figu.org, and you can look at the German definitions. Schöpfung is the first one we looked at yesterday. It means creation, which is identical to universal consciousness. There is a superintelligence that created our universe. The universe is its internal and external body. It's a neutral positive entity. It isn't a heavenly father as depicted by our religions. Schöpfung is the German word for creation. And the universe that we live in is the material manifestation of the wisdom of the universal consciousness. The universal consciousness creates universes as a part of its own evolution. And it creates human spirit forms as a part of its own evolution. It's a relatively young universal consciousness, even though it's 46 trillion years old. Our universe was created 46 trillion years ago, and a parallel universe was also created at that time called the Tao universe. The Meyer information explains that there are billions of universes. Hard thing to wrap your mind around, but that's the case. And these universes, they evolve, and there are 10 to the 24th power different universes, meaning that each universe has an evolutionary stage associated with it. For example, our universe is in its first stage of evolution, and it'll go through over 300 trillion years of expansion, then it will contract, it will go into a sleep time, and then there'll be another big bang where it'll expand again. In the first stage of its evolution, it has a material belt, and no other stage does it have a material belt. There are 7 concentric rotating rings in our universe. In this fourth rotating ring is all the galaxies, the planets, the stars, the suns, and everything which exists in the whole universe is a manifestation of the might and the infinite true love of this intelligence. The physical universe that we have exists in this material belt, again, which is the fourth of 7 belts. This universe that we live in, this Schöpfung, this creation, has what you might call an infinite and effective love. And the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. Love is the highest principle in all creation, and everything follows that principle in absolute logic. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal. And the love of creation, the law of love, is the first creational law. It's the highest and most important creational law. Billy has written something called Love Letter 27, which says some very interesting things about love. Again, this isn't romantic love at all. Romantic love is affective love, and it's considered a false kind of love. So let me continue here, Love Letter 27. No life is able to exist without love and without the light of truth. However, no light is able to exist without love and truth. And no truth is able to exist without light and love. True love is true being, and it is the everlasting warmth from the center of creation, which is described as true existence. And this is what I said earlier. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. This is the law of love. This second creational natural law is the law of striving, which is the fundamental law of all evolution. Without striving, there is no life, and without effective striving, there is no happiness. This is a very important concept. Billy has a wonderful book called The Way to Live, which talks about the law of striving. And if you're going through a stage where you're unhappy, I bet you're a little disoriented in your striving. It's just a possibility, something to look at. Striving creates the life right up to the being. Striving means delectation, which is kind of a fancy word for enjoyment, in a form which is always fulfilling and progressive. To be without striving means unwillingness and affliction. So you will be afflicted if you've cut back on your striving. Affliction is inhibited striving. So if your striving is inhibited right now, then you could be going through a miserable stage in your life. Affliction is inhibited striving and inhibited life. But inhibited striving and inhibited life bring inhibited evolution and stagnation, hopelessness, grief, confusion. Are you experiencing those? Well, if you're experiencing those, I don't offer you much pity, but I can encourage you to get working. Inhibited striving leads to irrationality, joylessness, cognitionlessness, unpeace, disharmony, lovelessness. You won't be an effective lover unless you're striving. Resentment, lies, self-deceit, reluctance for life. So this is how important this law of striving is. It's the fundamental law of all evolution. Without striving, there is no life. And then another very important creational natural law called the law of harmony. And what that means is there is a bipolar structure and composition for everything that exists. There is a positive and a negative. And your thinking should be right in the center, in the neutral spot, slightly positive. Now, in the mind of thoughts, there's a lot that's said here in terms of thinking properly and what we should be doing in terms of our thinking. Let me read this to you from the Might of Thoughts. It says, if negative thoughts are maintained in this way, regardless of whether it is knowingly or unknowingly, the negative effects will also follow. Let me stop here just for a minute. Is you can have negative thinking and you're not aware of it. That's called subconscious thinking. And it may even have bubbled up to your conscious mind, but you're so used to thinking this way, it's normal, but it's really negative. But you don't see it. So let me continue. If you continue thinking negatively, negative effects will follow. However, if the thoughts are healthy and thereby neutral, positive, equalized, then the effect also corresponds to that. So your neutral, positive thinking starts to produce these neutral positive circumstances in your life. However, there is also room in the neutral positive equalizing thinking for some negative inclusions, which should simply not be suppressed, but rather must be processed. So if you have a negative situation, you shouldn't just push that out of your mind necessarily. You need to process that in a neutral, positive, equalized way in order to maintain the equilibrium in your thinking. Therefore, one must not think in only a purely positive or only a purely negative form. Rather, precisely in a neutral, positive, equalized form with the same amount of both parts. So, this is the law of harmony. Again, I'm just going back over these terms, and they have so much information associated with them. One of the fourth creational natural laws is the law of reincarnation. It is a very interesting study. It's different than what most people think about reincarnation, because there's something called the spirit form. You know, we have this term soul, which flies around a lot today. That's not something that's talked about in the Meyer material much, because I don't think it's really what's going on. You have a Geist form, it's called in the German, it's called a spirit form in the English, and it resides in the middle of your brain in an area called the superior colliculus. The spirit form is the part of us that never dies. Therefore, it remains after death. And it is a minute piece of the universal consciousness that we were talking about early. It comes into the body of the fetus 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. It causes the heart to beat within the fetus. The spirit, though, is no larger than a needlepoint, and it has an enormous energy. It spreads out evenly like a web over all parts of your body, inside and out. And in the case of death, the spirit form comes out of the body, takes with it something called your consciousness, and we'll define that a little bit more in a minute, and that goes into the spirit realm for what's ideally would be a lifetime and a half. And the spirit form uses something called the overall consciousness block to process your past life memories, everything you learned in terms of wisdom, love, and discernment, and logic, and all that stuff that has value to it is distilled down into its essence, and it's absorbed by the spirit form. Now, what happens back in the material realm for about 3 hours, the remains of the body, there's still spirit energy in the body a little. And this spirit energy stays in the body for a while. And it lasts for about 3 hours until this residual, it's a residual spirit energy, is then absorbed by nature. But if you can get an organ within that time, then the organ will still be good. And of course, Billy's second contact, a woman named Semyasi, had some very interesting things to say about the spirit form. But let me move on for a minute. The spirit form again resides in the superior colliculus, the middle part of your brain. And there's something in the spirit form. It's, you could call it, it's what controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spirit form. And there's really no counterpart in the English language for this word, so I'll just use the German word. It's called the Gemüt. And it administers, it organizes, it controls the thoughts and the feelings associated with your spiritual consciousness. The Gemüt is considered the counterpart of the psyche. The Gemüt is our connection with the universal consciousness. Now, I talked about the material consciousness before. You get a new material consciousness every reincarnation. And the material consciousness, it represents the actual personality of a human being. And it's only the material consciousness that can be creative. for example, if you do drawings, inventions, notes, books, and so forth, all that is coming from the material consciousness. Hello, Gemini. Just wanted to say hi to some folks in the chat room. The material consciousness is the force in the human which does all the decision making, all the thought processing, all the considerations, all the deliberations occur in your material consciousness. So you have a spiritual consciousness and you have a material consciousness. Now, the child with the older spirit form has an advantage because that spirit form will send impulses to the material consciousness, kind of guiding it in this life. And I talked about yesterday the article called How It All Began, where Billy got a lot of that kind of guidance as a young boy. Maybe we'll get back to that. Again, we talked about the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness. Now, within your material consciousness is something called your psyche. Your psyche controls and organizes the thoughts and the feelings of your material consciousness. From the psyche comes your current mood, the current atmosphere that you have, your negative or positive mood, your inner attitude at the moment comes from your psyche. So the psyche organizes the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. The Gemut organizes the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. These are the two factors that are important to remember as a human being. Now, there's a tricky term that Billy does use occasionally in the German. It's called Empfinden. And it's part of the spiritual realm. And it's related to the Gemut that we talked about, which controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. The Empfinden is a process that the Gemut goes through. And the Empfinden receives what are called swinging waves. And we'll talk about those more in a bit. And through this Empfinden, you will eventually get to the point where you'll have a fine spiritual perception of the love of creation, most easily represented while you're in nature, which is another reason why overpopulation is so bad, because it gets us out of touch with these fine spiritual perceptions. Another of the terms that Figu uses is related to normal feelings. For example, the normal feelings of touching something with your fingertips is the word erfüllen, and you can also, through this term, it refers to the picking up of vibrations, or it's a consciousness-based feeling. I talked about what a Wesen is. Your dog, your cat, your horse, your goats, your pigs, your cows, whales, apes, lions and tigers, all the higher life forms are considered Wesen, so are human beings. We have our own personality, our own individuality. The universal consciousness doesn't have a personality like we do. It is called a Wesenheiten. And it functions without self-determination in terms of its evolution. In other words, it's functioning automatically in terms of its evolution. It's this force of nature that's taking place as the universe is evolving. And this universal intelligence, although it radiates love, it doesn't really have a personality. It's a lot like the ocean, stones, gases, in that sense. Now, Wesen, human beings, and most animals that are higher animals, have a personality. And while we're developing as a vizen, we are, in the case of mammals anyway, the embryo lives initially, before the spirit form comes in, as an impulse-based small body without a consciousness and without a personality of its own. Now, when the spirit form comes in on the 21st day, then it has a consciousness, and then it has a personality, and it's truly a vizen. Another term that often comes up in Billy's teaching is called the Gewalt, and it's a brutal execution of elemental might and force. A sartung is to get very badly out of control of the good human nature. And there's this thing that's been a source of fascination for me for a long time, still trying to completely wrap my mind around it. It's called the Schwingung wave in the German. There are electromagnetic swinging waves in the teaching of the spirit, and they are periodically built up electric and magnetic fields. And in higher stages of evolution, we learn to harness these incredible powers. So evolution is really the purpose of our existence. And the evolution of our consciousness is the most important kind of evolution that we have. The universal consciousness is a natural product of its own evolution, just like all creatures are the natural product of their own evolution. I talked about the material belt in our universe for a while, and it's a very interesting concept because all of the planets are there, all of the suns, all of the galaxies are in this material belt. And that's where the solar systems exist, where the other human beings from other worlds exist. And we are people that live in the universal material belt. So, and Billy will explain that we are really, at our current stage of evolution, we're only able to see things that exist in the material belt. And there's something called the transformational belt that's adjacent to the material belt. Our scientists are somewhat narrow-minded, and they only think that our universe is as old as the matter in our universe. The matter is only 40 to 45 billion years old. And that's what they think is the age of our universe. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about Billy and who he is, and if there are people that have heard this show before, they may not be aware. There's a man in Switzerland. He's 80 years old now. He has had contacts with extraterrestrial humans for his whole life. They visit him physically. They come to his home there in Hinterschmidruti. Billy lives in Hinterschmidruti, which is a tiny mountain village in Switzerland. And the reason they visit him has to do with this bigger project that's been going on for at least 13,000 years on this planet. The Earth is a very strange place in some aspects because we've had human beings here a very, very long time. Now, they weren't Earth human beings. They were people that came here from other worlds. And some of these other worlds were in different space-time configurations. So Homo sapiens sapien that currently exists on the earth has been interfered with to a degree by these more highly evolved beings. And this is against creational natural laws. And we were manipulated in a malevolent way, and we were also helped in a positive way. But this project, this mission that Edward Albert Meyer is on, is designed to bring enough spiritual teachings back into the earth to kind of stabilize the people of the earth and get us out of this cycle of destruction that we've been in for hundreds of thousands of years. So that's kind of an overview of what's been going on this earth for quite some time. So there are different kinds of evolution. Now, we here as human life forms, we have what's called a conscious evolution of the consciousness. Now, plant forms have an impulse evolution. They adapt, they have assimilation, and stones and crystals have an energy evolution. Very small bacteria have what's called microevolution. And there's an intelligence evolution as well. But this is for higher species of animals like apes, dolphins, horses, ravens, pigs, donkeys, etc., beasts of prey, elephants, dogs, and cats. But this isn't the same as the consciousness evolution of human beings. Now, I briefly brought up the issue that there were very advanced human beings that weren't native Earth humans here in the very, very ancient past. And there's a book that Billy has written that for one reason or another, I've been able to get little bits and pieces of it from the English. I'm not exactly certain how perfectly accurate this is, but let me share with you some of the things it says. And this is what it's called, Canon 52. It says, the gods of the earth were human beings. They came from the depths of the universe, from foreign systems, from galaxies and worlds. They elevated themselves on the earth, unrightfully above earth humans. They named themselves God the Creator. They created sects and religions so that earth humanity would worship them. And they enslaved the people of the earth so that we would be dependent on these gods who were here in the ancient past. And each one of these gods created separate religions and set himself up as creator above the humans. Humans became faithful slaves to these different gods. So, I often talk about something called the Giza intelligences. And the Giza intelligences were one group of these gods who actually were here even into modern times. They existed far below the Giza Plateau, and these old cubical constructions were about 73,000 years old. They influenced Nazi Germany through the secret society called the Thule or the Thule Society, through one man who at that time was named Erik Jonassen. He was called that. His real name was Hermann Steinschneider. He was under the control of these human beings who were living underneath the Giza Plateau. And this Hermann Steinschneider influenced Hitler and sent him off on a bad path that eventually ended in what happened in World War II. So these intelligences that exist far below the Giza Plateau were around until about the end of the 1970s. They were eventually pushed off the Earth in the 1970s by the Pleiaren themselves. And I just want to talk to you a little bit. There's a some potential things that the Meyer information talks about that could happen. In 2020, it talks about a possible collapse of the United States. Now, this is a possible collapse. It's in Contact Report 544. Let me read what Billy says here. Then these terrible things could be avoided, after all, through the U.S. A's populations, rational ones. But with the USA, the whole thing cannot go eternally as it was before Barack Obama came, who has owned thanks for the end of the deployment in Iraq and the elimination of Osama bin Laden, as well as a huge humanitarian step forward for the American people with respect to the comprehensive health insurance. This is really interesting. Very controversial things. Especially since I'm more on the right. When I consider that which you already confided to me during my gate trip 1975, that accordingly to your probability calculations, the superpower USA will come to an end after 2020. This is a huge statement. And I think we're going to make it beyond 2020, but maybe I'm wrong. It says, if the USA will come to an end by 2020, if nothing in this country changes for the better by then, and if those who are the USA's allies continues to disassociate from that country or even become enemies of a country, it continues. Anyway, Patel says, that could be so, but also consider that is which the Obama followers will do next and which internal and external policies they pursue. And this will determine what will happen after 2020. I don't know if the insertion of Trump was really something that the Pleiaren foresaw. I happen to be a Trump supporter, as some that divides the country right about in half, me saying that. But anyway, this is a bit off topic of the gods of the past. But what I'm trying to say is we're out from under the thumb of the gods of the past. We're still somewhat influenced by these telenotic impulses of the Giza intelligences. But we have an opportunity to enter into what's called the Golden Age. And the Golden Age could occur, start in 2029. And it's discussed in Contact Report number 9. If I can find the passage really quick, I can pass it on to you. Okay, let me. This is Contact Report 9. Where to start here? This is the ushering in of the Golden Age, the transition phase of 185 years. But the full value of the era will only begin in 2029, February 3rd of Central European Time. The dramatically changing power of the new era, however, has begun on February 3rd, 1844, and the powerful changes on the Earth will move forward irresistibly. So the Golden Age will start in 2029 if we don't destroy ourselves. Now, I got a quick question on what are telenotic impulses. Well, the Giza intelligences, while they were here, used a kind of almost, it was a technology that put forth a wave kind of into the air that it was almost hypnotic, and it still affects us. I don't know how it will, it does, but it's the Meyer material says it will continue to affect us for something like the next 300 years. So, and I think that it was a form of mind control that we were under. So anyway, that is part of this whole story. There also is the Pleiaren. They still have contacts with Billy, but there really is, according to the Meyer information, there are the extraterrestrials that were on the Earth, left the Earth right around 1995, and they had bases. There were something like 2,860 extraterrestrial humans on the Earth as late as 1995. They had bases in Switzerland, bases in North America, and bases in Asia. One of the bases in Switzerland had been here for about 300 years. There was a base, the Hyperboreans had a base in Mount Shasta for a while. I don't even know if they're still there. I don't think they are. I've asked the people in Switzerland and they say no. But at one time, in Mount Shasta, which is in, I believe, Washington State, you could see these golden-colored spacecraft coming out of the eastern side of the mountain. And there were people within that mountain, about 700 people, that were called the Hyperboreans. They had blonde hair. They were blonde people. They initially lived on the very northern part of the Earth in ancient times. They were an off-world group. During the time of Atlantis and Lemuria, the North Polar region was attacked by a group from Beta Centauri who was led by Eris the Barbarian and a guy named Semyasa. And the Hyperboreans eventually escaped, and at some point they made it down to this, into Mount Shasta. And occasionally you could see their golden-colored spacecraft coming out of the eastern slope of that mountain. Sometimes they would even go down into nearby villages for short times and interact with Earth humans. They were also said to have beam weapons that would stun people of the Earth. There was another group of extraterrestrial humans called the Hasters. And the Hasters had an undersea base, and I believe it was in the North Sea area. And I'm not looking at my notes right now, so some of these details may be incorrect. But they were close to our evolution. They didn't get here on their own. The Pleiaren brought them here. They were close enough to our own evolution to interact with Earth peoples for like 17 hours without having bad effects. One of the reasons that the Pleiaren don't have open contact with Earth humans is because they're in the fifth stage of evolution for human beings, and their thought processes and their thought forms are so different than ours that just being around our thoughts is very detrimental to them. Literally, they can lose control of their body, and that's how Semyasa had her great accident. One of the people from the Figu walked into a room when Semyasa was talking with Billy. She fell, hit her head on the table. Somehow she managed to transport herself back to her ship, but then she was unconscious in the ship. Later, some of the Pleiaren found her there and took her to the Tao universe where she receives treatment. I think to this day, she's still trying to recover from this. So it's not possible for them to land on the White House lawn, not the Pleiaren. They're too far evolved. They're actually at the stage right now where the next stage of evolution, they will no longer need a physical body. But I've kind of got off a little bit. I was talking about the Giza intelligences in the ancient past and religion, and how all of these wrong ideas got into our psyches. And one of the big wrong ideas that was implanted in the Earth human is the idea of angels. And angels now have a supernatural meaning, when the word, even in the past, only meant messenger. Now, there in the Bible, it will tell you the seraphim are six-winged angels and the cherubim are four-winged angels. Well, according to my information anyway, these were not supernatural beings, although to earth peoples they did seem supernatural at the time. And the future is not too far away in which it will be possible to cruise through genetic manipulation of plants and animals and for us to create entirely new forms of life. So it can be said that this gene sodomy will eventually come to be, even if it is contrary to the laws of nature. Now, this is not to say that genetic engineering and gene manipulation is contrary to the laws of nature, because this is not the case, quite the opposite. Both lie within creational principles, and they lie within the normal progress of human beings. So gene sodomy is the creation of not normally appearing life forms by crossing the genetic material of different flora and fauna. For genetic engineering to be considered gene sodomy, these newly formed creatures must be able to reproduce. So if you're going to use genetic manipulation to create a new creature, it shouldn't be able to reproduce. If it does, that is against the creational natural laws. This is called gene sodomy. And this was done on the earth in the ancient past. And that's how we got the seraphim and the cherubim. I'll continue on this. Gene sodomy is said to be asartung, and that's why I was talking about earlier terminology, which means to get out of control of the good human nature, through which is a result of these gene intersections of different flora and fauna to form new species and new kinds of life forms, which are capable of reproduction. Genetic manipulation of any other kind does not fall under gene sodomy, because it is in whole always through gene sodomy in which new life forms are created, as I said, which are capable of reproduction. Okay, and that's what happened in the ancient past when the Lyrians were here. There was animal-human hybrids called seraphim, and human-animal hybrids called cherubim. And these were glorified by the Christian religion into angels. Seraphim is the plural word for seraph. And according to Christian religion, the seraph is a celestial being that hovers above God's throne. And the seraphim is one of the fiery six-winged angels attendant to Jehovah. And seraphims are said to be a member of the highest order of angels. However, the Meyer material just states that the seraphim were just animal humans that were created via genetic manipulation in ancient times by the Lyrians. The seraphs were traditionally regarded as burning or flaming angels. So, the Latin term seraphim leads back to the old Lyrian word symbol, serhab, which was used for animal people created by gene sodomy. And the Meyer material explains that the seraphim creatures were considered to be holy angels by the Hebrews. And this is, again, part of this confusion that has been passed down for thousands of years. And these six-winged creatures were in the shape of a snake, and they had the feet of animals, they were the product of genetic engineers, the product of extraterrestrial humans who did genetic engineering. So you can imagine the confusion that exists in our religions today, in the ununderstanding, let's call it that. Well, I wanted to pass on a little bit of these more subtle and strange things about the Meyer information. There is a lot of strange things that have happened in terms of bad weather. And one of the prophecies about the Meyer material talks about the incredible fires that we will continue to have. And that's one of the things I was tracking for the longest time, are these tremendous fires that seem to start right around 2013. And hopefully we don't get any more of these fires. These things are incredible. Example of just one of them was the Rim Fire in 2013, which burned 402 square miles. And this happened in California. Almost burned down the Yosemite National Park's sequoia trees. And see what is happening because of our overpopulation and our deforestation. We've created a situation where we have extreme weather. Everything is out of balance because the earth really is only designed to support about 529 million people to sustain that population. But what is happening is deforestation is occurring on a massive scale across the earth. And the forests moderate the weather. How did they do this? Well, in the wintertime, the forests promote warmth. And this is because all these trees absorb the incoming solar radiation, and then they warm the air around them. What they do in the summer, all of these trees, is they create shade, which cools the air around them. The deforestation allows it to get colder in the winter and hotter in the summer, and that creates the possibility for storms to form, and that's why we're having storms and droughts. One of the things that trees do also is they create turbulence. When the wind blows across the trees, it creates a turbulence just above the tree line, and this turbulence helps the formation of clouds and helps the formation of rain. And there's a very, very interesting relationship between the forests and the weather. So, and this is one of the great problems that we have now, is we have a corrupt leadership that is making self-aggrandizing and megalomaniacal decisions. And megalomania is a psychopathological condition characterized by delusional fantasies of wealth and power. And Bush was an example of a megalomaniac. Now, one of the problems is, in the third millennium, the people of the earth will become indolent and obtuse. We'll not understand. We'll be too lazy to look into things like the side effects of deforestation, and our populations will continue to grow and will continue to cut down the trees. And we're in a lifestyle now which is causing climate change. And the overpopulation, for example, in Beijing, China, there are 14 million people in that one city. That's more people than are in the whole state of Ohio that I'm in right now. They have, if you can imagine, 50 lanes of traffic that go around Beijing. And this is not an exaggeration. I didn't believe it myself when I first learned this. And the horror of this is that when they have traffic jams, they can last weeks and longer. And the government has to fly in helicopters with food and water so people don't die in these traffic jams. This is where we're heading. We're heading into these catastrophes because we're so out of balance. And for example, the air pollution in Beijing, China, is so bad you can't even see the daylight sometimes during the day. Another thing that's happening is human beings are becoming ever more uneducated, and we're becoming more addicted. It's one of the reasons why I spend a lot of time on the spiritual teachings, is because one of the things the spiritual teachings is designed to keep you focused on is striving and to look into yourself, because we all have a tendency towards addictions of certain kinds. We each have a different predilection. You might be one that tends to be addicted to sex, or someone that's addicted to too much eating food, or video games, or alcohol, or any form of stimulation. So what we have to learn is not to live for stimulation, but to live for the evolution of our consciousness, to live for striving and for learning. Let me read something that Quetzal says regarding our economy, and this is Contact Report 213. He says that unhesitatingly and irresponsibly, the managers and directors of firms, enterprises, and corporations will boundlessly get into debt and ruin these, whereby megalomania will be owned by these irresponsible ones, just as extravagance, unpredictability, ignorance, and incompetence will be. And all this will become well known over time. But those in charge of legislative representation don't concern themselves with this, because they themselves will be partly involved in the management issues. For this reason, the criminal leaders of the firms, the enterprises, and corporations won't be prosecuted by the courts in most cases. And white-collar crime will increase. And this is part of the historical trends that we're facing. Another thing that we're facing is, because of the overpopulation, is more and more war. And I've started down this overpopulation thing, and it's something I cover periodically, but I thought I would just make the case for you in case you're not sure if we're overpopulated or not. Roughly 4 million people are born on the street and die on the street in India every year. Now, we don't see quite this level of the side effects of population here in the U.S. 18 million people starve to death every year in the world. There are 9,000 newborns per hour. Think about that, 9,000 newborns per hour. And that's after you subtract the number of deaths. Let me give you an example of Bangladesh. Bangladesh is a country the size of Iowa. It has a population of 167 million. That is more people than live in Russia. And the Islamic leaders in that country do not allow birth control. 10 million children die every year from starvation or starvation-related diseases. The world population grows by 77 million people annually. Think about that. Every year. United States is the third fastest growing country in the world because of immigration. And that's why there, at least some people, are trying to slow the immigration into the U.S. America will add 100 million people by 2035 because of immigration. Some of the side effects of this overpopulation is a global water crisis. The Ogallala Aquifer, which is in the Great Plains in the United States, which supplies most of the water for states like South Dakota, Nebraska, Wyoming, Colorado, Kansas, New Mexico, Texas, Oklahoma, is depleting to the rate where in short periods of time we won't be able to get fresh water to the middle part of the United States. We've seen some of the problems that California has had recently as well. So, anyway, we got into some of the practical down-to-earth issues that we're going to be facing here in the very, very near future, the kind of issues that we're facing right now. Hope you've enjoyed the show. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. My name is Mark Snyder. You've been hearing about the teachings of Edward Albert Meyer, a man in Switzerland who has written 40 books, over 40 books, over 2,000 contact reports. Take this information, take it with you into your daily life, apply it, and it will make your life go more smoothly. We'll talk to you probably tomorrow about the same time. Have a great day.